I'm not originally from here, so I know a couple of you. But thanks to Michael, and actually my story of actually coming to Big Branch, I met Michael April 15th at my soon-to-be cousin-in-law's wedding. And they convinced me and my fiance Autumn to come to church on Sunday morning. And I was like, okay, yeah, I haven't been faithfully in like 8 months or so. And I came, rededicated my life to the Lord. And that's where it started from recently. But I'm going to take it back to the beginning. You know, I was raised by a mom who believed in going to church every Sunday and going to Sunday school, no cussing, going to literally every vacation Bible school in the county if I could. And she raised me up to be a generally just a good person. Granted, that's not how it went. But for the longest time, my dad hadn't went to church in what was over 35 years. But the day that I was baptized, my dad actually went to church he didn't tell anybody, didn't text me, didn't tell mom. He just disappeared for like 3 hours, went to church, and he gave his life to the Lord. He's never been saved. My dad's 60 years old this year. And that, for me, knowing that the day that I was baptized, that it wasn't that just because I was baptized and announced that I was going to preach, it wasn't me, it was all God. And I was thoroughly shocked when that happened, and my mom called me. She was crying, and she was telling me about it, and I knew then and there that it wasn't because of anything that we did. We prayed faithfully every day, trying to get and begged my dad. We even tried to force him. We tried to bribe him to go to church. Like, when I was a kid, like, it was literally unreal. But never would have guessed in a million years that my dad actually would have went to church and got saved. But first, before I go any further, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 18, verse 27. If I can get to it. Anyway. But it says, "But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." This verse to me shows that even though we prayed for my dad and tried to force him to go and he refused, that even though we kept praying and everything and we kept trusting in God, that God does work miracles, and he ended up getting saved. And up until about a year ago, I went to church every Sunday. Never really understood, like, in going when I was younger. I mean, just like you all, you like to goof off, and same for me. Like, I didn't really understand. Just sat there, played on my phone a little bit, and didn't really, like, pay attention. But there's a story that I don't have time going to full detail, but I'll make it short. It's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Michael knows this, and because of God, I'm actually comfortable with sharing it. You know, when I was in eighth grade, I played sports, just like probably a few of you. I never really mattered to me that I was playing sports. I was pretty athletic, pretty gifted at it. But one day in eighth grade, my life, it changed a lot. And for that, it was my middle school. We went to the high school for our classes, so we shared a school with the high school students. And but, you know, being an adult now, I try to be comfortable with this, and even right now it's hard for me to say it, and I'm trying to, like, skip over it, but I'm not going to because it needs to be said. But anyway, what happened to me on that day was I was sexually assaulted, and I was raped by a senior in my high school. For a long time, I had nothing but anger and hatred towards this person, and I never felt remorse for anything that I'd said about this incident with anybody that knew about it. I mean, I didn't see anything coming. Like, for me, I was just on the bus one day. It started with It started with just like I got forced into a section and stuff happened. And and for part of that was like the guy was overly anxious to sit near me and wanting to make very inappropriate comments towards me about me. But God took over my situation and eventually opened my heart. I went from pure hatred towards this person to I went to the guy's house because he lived pretty close to me. It was a couple of years later, but I went to his house, knocked on his door. He'd been not allowed in the state of West Virginia, I think, for like 2 years at this time. And he just came back, and I found out because his mom had posted all about it on Facebook. So I went and knocked on the door, didn't expect him to be the one to answer it. Looked at him, looked him in the eyes, said, "I'm sorry, because for so long I've hated you for what you did to me. And I don't care if you ever feel any remorse about what you did to me, but I just want you to know that I love you, and I'm praying for you that one day that the things that you do, that it will, that you'll give it up, go to God, and get saved." But the next verse I'm going to go to is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For me, this verse, it actually, when I graduated, I put this on my cap, and yeah, it's stayed with me for a while, and it spoke to me pretty much all my life. But it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You know, when God said, "Don't hate," love to me, love, that he spoke to me, and he said that, and that literally rocked my world, because I didn't, like, for the longest time, I literally hated it. I hated everybody. I didn't want to be near anybody because of what happened to me. I thought nobody would ever understand. I was like, it's not going to matter. Nobody will ever care. Nobody's ever going to want to pay attention. And stop looking around and joking. I can see you. This is serious for me. And if you don't want to take it seriously, just stop and pay attention. Like, I'm being serious. But anyway, I don't even know where I was. Anyway, that verse, it really spoke to me. And when God actually spoke to me and says, told me not to hate the guy anymore, to love, that when it rocked my world, it changed how I looked at everything. I mean, for me, I still couldn't tell, like, the people I went out, like, I hung out with, the girls that I did. I didn't want them to know that because I was afraid that they would judge me and not want to be with me anymore. And luckily, the people that did know about it, that are close to me, they felt bad for me, but they never, like, made it a problem, made it, like, a situation that it was very uncomfortable for me. Like, they just looked over it. They never wanted to say anything bad about it. They said, "Oh, I'm sorry that that happened to you, but, I mean, what else is there? I mean, it's in the past. We don't care." So, I mean, that was a plus for me, for the people that didn't know. In college, I became clinically depressed, and I became a very, very bad alcoholic. And I'm not gonna lie, though, because this was in 2015. This was fall of 2015. This was literally probably like the second hardest thing that I've ever been through, was the depression. I tried to commit suicide 3 times. I failed all 3 times, thankfully. But all three times that happened, I would always hear God speak to me, because I was never sure of what it was until I got saved again, and I finally made the connection with what was being said to me, was that don't ever let your depression and the suicidal thoughts ever take that big of a control of your life and go to the point that you actually want to kill yourself. He said, I have bigger things for you. He said, I'm going to take control. He's like, this is done. And ever since the third time that I tried, I haven't had the thoughts. That's not been a part of my life anymore. I used to be deeply in, like I was very scared of everything that was around me. I was afraid that I would just get depressed about literally anything. And I was just so, like, worked up that for me in this part of my life that the medication wasn't helping. Nothing, like the people that are around me, therapy, nothing of that was helping. But one day, my mom's church, the pastor called me, asked me to come home for the weekend, and I was really like confused why. But one of my close friends was speaking at the church, and I didn't know it until I went there. He talked me into going, so I went and seen one of my best friends speak for the first time, and watched God move through him. And I mean, that going to church that first time since the depression started, it really like. That was the first time I never felt like I was depressed. I never felt like I was going to kill myself. Like, I felt love, and I didn't, like, I felt God's love on me, and I didn't, like, I wasn't scared. I didn't even want to leave church that day. It's not in my notes, but but I forgot to write that. You know, allowing myself to become an alcoholic, that was mostly my fault because I joined a fraternity, and I let the people of the fraternity trick me into doing some really stupid things. Yeah, it got so bad that I came dependent on it. I'd have to wake up in the morning, and I'd always have to have a drink before I went to class. I'd always have to have a drink before I went to work. Even I used to have to drink to get through work, and then I would have to drive home, and then I would continue to drink until like 11 or 12, go to bed, and then go on with my day. You know, luckily, last year, the depression finally started to fade away, but this was late last year, so this is probably like last December, so almost a year ago. The first time I tried to kill myself, I was driving down a road. I was like, you know what, just drive head on into traffic, that'll get it over with. But after I hit a pothole, and I swear that pothole was not there. I swear there was never a pothole in that road. I was on 64, and I swear there was not a pothole in the road. But my car, I went, and I was going, and I hit that pothole, I swear, was not there. I hit it. I get back on 64, and I pull off on the side of the road. And, like, I just sat there. I cried. And then that's the first time I heard it. You can't die now. I have bigger plans for you. You know, hearing that, like, that literally made me break down. Like, I never had cried as much as I had in my life until that moment. But then the second time, that was a dumb mistake. You know, I tried to drink myself into a coma. And for me, at that point when I was an alcoholic, I had to drink. None of you would probably know, but I'll just go ahead and use it in science. It was probably about 5,600 milliliters of liquor, like bottles, just to like go unconscious. Yeah, if anybody likes science, you'll figure that out. That's a lot. But but luckily, after that, I woke up the next morning, I puked my guts out. I literally puked for like 2 hours. And that's the first time I opened my Bible in almost a year. And I started reading, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I read all of those after I stopped puking. And I broke down and started crying again. But this time, instead of wanting to do something stupid and continue to drink, I started praying for the first time in probably like a year and a half at this point. And I asked God, I was like, God, can you give me a sign? Can you give me something worth living for? And that, for me, now that I feel kind of foolish for asking that, but like I begged him for a reason to stop my depression, for a reason to stop the alcoholism, and God did answer that prayer. August of last year, I met Autumn, and about 3 months later, the last attempt happened. I was at a bar with my buddies. I just disappeared. One of my roommates called me and told me I just needed to go kill myself. And I was like, you know what? He doesn't care, so nobody else does. So I left the bar, ran down to where my apartment was, grabbed my gun, grabbed my car keys, and I was getting ready to drive. And one of that guy's girlfriend seen me leave the apartment, and she ran after me. I didn't understand it at the time, but she was saved, and she came, and she was trying to talk me out of it, and I wasn't listening to anybody. But, yeah, I felt the need to call two of my really good friends that were alumni of my fraternity, and luckily, one of them, he was saved, the other one's not, but the one that was saved was reading to me, I think. He just started reading a passage out of the Bible. I can't remember it because it literally took them like 6 hours just to calm me down. But he just sat there by me and he just kept reading I'm pretty sure he just read out of the New Testament the entire time. But the entire time that I was sitting there, I felt that pain go away. I felt that hatred for myself and towards that guy that wanted me to kill myself go away, and I actually felt love for the first time again. I felt God was what it really was, and that moment, it sent something down through me, and I realized that that alcohol, I didn't need it anymore. The depression, I didn't need it anymore. But that wasn't because, and that all the depression stopped immediately after that day. But that I asked God to take it away out of my life, and not luckily, he took it away, because I feel like that he had something bigger for me. I kept hearing the voice say to me all three times I tried to kill myself, and the alcoholism, it stopped that day too. I continued to drink some, but it never satisfied me anymore. But fast forward to mid-April of this year, I still hadn't faithfully went to church in a while, but God was still changing me, and that's when Easter Sunday I came to Big Branch and rededicated my life to the Lord. That step personally was really hard for me, but luckily enough, we have a God that will help you take that first step when you're too scared to. I kept feeling a tugging on my heart. He gave me the courage. He gave me the ability to take that first step. Everything changed almost instantly after I hit my knees at the altar. You know, ever since that day, God has become and been my number one ever since. This church has been a second home for me. God spoke to me a few weeks and told me that this, I shared this with with Michael, and he shared it with Randy. But Marshall's saying for this year is, "I am because we are." And it crossed my mind a lot, and for me it was very interesting. I never understood why Marshall chose it. But because it's never I when it comes to the church. It's always about us. It's always about spreading love towards everyone. It's never I, but like it says, not I but Christ. But everyone, like just seeing how everyone was, feeling the love that everybody had here towards everybody, making us everybody feel welcome. And it was just different for me. I hadn't ever felt that. And it's because I am at Big Branch because of, well, first, it's where God wanted me. And you all, which is the we, are so welcoming to make everyone feel at home. I continue to this day to wonder why Marshall is using it. It still doesn't make sense to me, but it always draws me back to Big Branch every time I hear it because of all the adults, all the students here. Everybody, just to the last person in here, it's love, it's welcoming, it's like I said, it's a second home. God has guided me from dark paths of fear and destruction to a road of hope and light. If I continued with my life the way I wanted to live it, I wouldn't be here today. But God never left me through any of it. When I felt I was all alone and at the end of my rope, God said, "Here, son, take my hand." And the last passage I'm going to read from is John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Never think you're too low to be saved. You know, my story, it's not the worst, but it's my story that God gave me to share. And when God never gave up on me through all my pain and all my struggle, it just makes me feel like I know I can never repay him for what he's done for me. When he died on the cross, he knew that one day that my story to show his glory could possibly help somebody. It's touched a couple people that I know of that I've shared the depression part about before. But because of his love, my life changed for the better. And now I'm up here speaking. If I wouldn't have listened and actually went to church and started praying and everything, who knows where I would be. God would still probably be trying to drag me out of that bar at 3 a.m. in the morning, trying to tell me that I needed to stop what I was doing. But my advice to you all, if you ever are into something you shouldn't be or at the end of your rope, know God loves you no matter what and is always there to listen. Just speak to him, because he's always there. He's going to listen to you no matter what. Because take it from a guy that literally never in his life would have thought that he'd have become an alcoholic, would have been as depressed and tried to kill himself as many times as he did. But if it wasn't for God, I know at the end of the day that I wouldn't be up here and I wouldn't be speaking to you all. Probably would have never met Michael and Randy. Probably would have never announced my calling to ministry. But I'm going to leave you all with this. With that all being said, God gives every one of us a story for a reason. If you know your story, if you're saved or you're not, how are you going to use it to give God the glory? Or are you just going to let it go to waste?